Marcus Erickson cares deeply about oceans, waterways, and what pollution does to them. He's founded the organization Five Gyres Institute in Los Angeles, and tomorrow he'll speak on the University of Arkansas campus about his experiences with the garbage floating in the Pacific Ocean. I talked to him yesterday from his home in Los Angeles about his passion for the world's water.
I kind of always wanted to have a Huckleberry Finn kind of adventure. So it wasn't until, I think, long after I came back from the first Gulf War. I was a Marine back in 1991. And in a foxhole, I made a promise to another Marine, if we survived that war, that we would do that, that he and I together would raft the Mississippi. I couldn't find him 10 years later, but I did it myself. I built a raft, went to the top of the watershed in North Minnesota. It took 5 months to get down to my hometown. And along the way, I saw so much trash. It was unbelievable how much trash was leaving our nation's greatest watershed, heading out to sea, the sea that I, you know, fell in love with, you know, as a kid on the shores of the Gulf of Mexico. And at the same time, a few years around that time, I had an experience going out to Midway. And that's that island, as you know, midway between California and Japan. I went there to learn about American history and take some kids to study seabirds. And I saw hundreds of Laysan albatross skeletons. Every single one had a pile of plastic trash between its ribs. So I saw where it was coming from, or some of it, from the Mississippi. I saw where it was going and the impact it was having on their life. And I just felt I had to do something. So that began my sort of focus on plastics.
Well, let's go back to the Mississippi first, because you casually mentioned you built a raft. Well, you didn't just build a raft. You built a raft out of plastic bottles.
Yes. So I used, if you think about a raft, if I built a pontoon boat, I have a chance of one pontoon getting hit by a stick or a rock and busting and half my raft sinking. But plastic bottles, I use 232 2-liter plastic bottles. It's unsinkable. I mean, you've got to pop every single bottle to get my bottle rocket raft to sink. And that kept me afloat all the way down from Lake Itasca, Minnesota, 2,300 miles to Venice, Louisiana, right before it pours out in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was just an amazing adventure.
Aren't there locks on the Mississippi River?
There are 27 locks and dams. And I locked through every one, and I had a very similar conversation with every lock master. First, the question from the lock master was, you know, what in the world are you doing? And second, we began talking about, you know, the Mississippi River and plastic trash and all the rafts that they had seen going by. I'm surprised how many people actually attempt to have that Huck Finn kind of adventure. And they would also tell me how much trash they see. Oh, yeah, I see, you know, 1,000 bottles a day. So I really got some inside scoop on how much trash is leaving our nation's waterways.
How much trash is leaving our nation's waterways?
I don't have a quantitative number to give you, but I mean, every day that I was on the river, I could look left or right and see, you know, piles of trash on the banks of the river. I even had a portlet, you know, race me down the river. I had milk crates. I had two houseboats, they were loose, floating right beside me. So there was all kinds of trash, big trash, small trash, and a never-ending trail of, like, styrofoam cups and plastic bottles, bottle caps, cups and straws and plastic bags. All the single-use, throwaway plastic that we use, you know, for a very short period of time has a long life after we use it and lose it.
Now, just during your trip, you saw a lot of trash. The Mississippi is not the only waterway, obviously, in North America, and North America is not the only continent. Is there any way to describe how much plastic trash is floating into our oceans?
Well, to say how much is leaving our waterways worldwide is difficult to put a number on that. But if you go to some places where there is no waste management, where they have no infrastructure to deal with waste, to collect waste. And some countries have just been used to using natural packaging, banana leaves and vines and so forth, to carry and package their materials. They have this habit of throwing stuff on the ground because in their history it's biodegraded. So if you go to like Manila, some parts of Malaysia, parts of Africa, South America, you can find waterways choked full of plastics. And it's not just those parts of the world as well. You know, I live here in Los Angeles now. When you get a heavy rain, you can watch all the trash, I mean, literally tons of it, going down the L.A. River. So it's a global problem.
And so we have these conglomerations, these sort of floating subcontinents, kind of a flotsam out there in the oceans, don't we?
Yes. So that's what I've done the last 10 years. My wife and I began an organization called the Five Gyres Institute. And a gyre is simply a floating mass of water. In the Northern Hemisphere, there's the North Pacific Gyre and the North Atlantic Gyre, and they occupy the entire ocean. It's just the way the atmosphere, the winds turn and move the currents. So it creates these giant vortex of currents. In the center, if you sail there, and I've been to all five in the world, you find not just like an island of trash. What you find is like a soup of plastic confetti. It's the best way to describe it. It's broken up small fragments. So out there, it's kind of really hard to solve the problem in the middle of nowhere when you got all this stuff. You can't recognize what product it is. It's so broken. And you really can't point to a country. What we're finding is, you know, there is all this trash out there. But the way to solve this is to stop adding more and go back up our waterways, back to the way we sort of look at the products we use and the way we manage trash we produce.
When someone hears a conversation that you're having with someone like me on the radio, or they hear you when you speak at the University of Arkansas, what do you want them to take away? Not just the knowledge, but what sort of action would you like to generate?
I think the action is to become very much aware of the life cycle of trash. Our trash, it goes somewhere. And if we look at plastics, unlike metals, many metals are recyclable and have some value. And wooden paper will biodegrade. Glass is inert. But plastic has this very long life. It absorbs toxins, and it's non-biodegradable. It can transport around the world. So to decrease the use of single-use, throw-away plastic products will do the world a favor. And it isn't just, you can't point to one country. It is the slow loss, incremental loss of small plastics over decades has made these mountains of trash in the ocean. So everyone's effort really makes a difference.
Now, you grew up in Louisiana. That's a border state to Arkansas. I don't know if you've been on the University of Arkansas campus before, but if you've floated down the Mississippi, you've at least drifted by Arkansas before. Any experiences with this state before?
I did, actually. I had one of my best experiences on the Mississippi River was floating down, and I got to, I think it was Osceola.
Mm-hmm.
Osceola, if I sang it right?
Yeah, Osceola.
Osceola, Arkansas, and I remember I was really cold and tired, and I knew there was a landing coming up soon somewhere, and I hadn't seen one for a long time. And I remember floating by, and I can hear on the right bank, on the Arkansas side, I can hear a couple shotguns going off. So I pull my raft over, and I come climbing out of the river to see what's up. And I startled a few young people who were shooting bottles with a shotgun. They just said who I was, what I was up to, and we got to talking for a bit. And they said, oh, if you go just another mile, you'll see there's a landing, a boat ramp, and there's a park where you can camp. So I did just that. I went back on the river, back to my bottle rocket raft, got to the landing, pulled the raft, tied it up, pitched a tent, and just fell asleep. 9 o'clock at night, I see headlights, you know, shining right through the tent. And I throw on my boots and I go scramble out there, and it's the same three people. And they brought me, I mean, a heaping pile of turkey and cranberry sauce and stuffing and another plate full of different kinds of pie. It was Thanksgiving Day, and these three young people just saw a stranger, you know, coming through down the river, and they just offered this gift of kindness. I'll never forget that. That's my best memory. One of my best memories on the river was the kindness of strangers from Arkansas.
And I imagine that's just the sort of thing that can keep you going to complete that mission.
Yep, it gives you a wonderful confidence in people and of yourself. And that's killed me for a long time.
If people want to know more about Five Gyres, where can they go online?
If they go to fivegyres.org, it's the number 5, then G-Y-R-E-S, they can learn more there or just come see me at the University of Arkansas. I'll be there giving a talk this week.
Marcus Erickson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Marcus Erickson. We'll speak tomorrow on the University of Arkansas campus. The talk begins at 5:30 inside Giffels Auditorium in Old Main. The talk is free and is open to the public. I talked with him yesterday.